Hughes is this part of Hughes that that I work for is Hughes Network Systems, and it is a leading provider of broadband services to consumers, enterprise, and government, and predominantly sold through satellite services, VSAT services. This is the very small aperture terminal, very small satellite dishes. And we provide these to customers for managed services, for internet access, and so forth. And we've had quite a bit of great success doing so for the last 20 or 30 years.
Mm-hmm. What would people be surprised to know that Hughes is involved in, that has a business presence in, maybe they wouldn't think of?
I think in this area, it would surprise people as to how much we serve consumers. We have probably 600,000 or so consumers that use our service as their internet provider. In mm-hmm. fact, we're the sixth largest ISP in the country.
Wow.
Just a lot of people wouldn't know that. But mm-hmm. around this area, you know, this area is mostly served by digital terrestrial broadband services. But then again, you'd be surprised in even urban areas where there are pockets of communities unserved by either cable or broadband, terrestrial, Fios, DSL, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide our services via satellite for internet access, and mm-hmm. a lot of consumers use that. And I think a lot of people would not think of Hughes as really a consumer provider, but it's an enormous part of our business. We're very successful at it.
Do you think that because Hughes has been in as many different parts of the government contracting world as it's been for as long as it has been around, is there kind of a preconceived notion that agencies have when you go to talk to them about Hughes providing whatever you're going to talk to them about, and they say, oh, no, I thought you were a fill in the blank? Are there perceptions about the company out there?
Not really anymore. I think we've been pretty active in the area for the last 5 years. It's when we put a real emphasis on the government market. And when I'm going to see the telecommunications executives and officials of the agencies, they know that I'm not trying to sell them Hughes aircraft services. So it's I think we've worked hard at labeling ourselves and branding ourselves for being what we are, and that mm-hmm. is a broadband provider.
When you go to see those executives, what are they asking you for, or what knowledge are they trying to get from you and the other people that play in the space that you're in?
Well, that's a good question, because it's what we're trying to do and have been trying to do for a while now is more education about what satellite broadband can do for them
mm-hmm.
as a new tool, as a new method of using a different medium for accessing their networks and for accessing the internet and so forth. So, for instance, what we've been stressing for a lot of years is the use of satellite for path diversity. Many of the agencies for years and years and years, and I've worked for carriers selling to government for almost 30 years now. They've used terrestrial services, and many times will award a contract to a second terrestrial carrier, all in the interest of obtaining redundancy and diversity. Well, that philosophy doesn't work out too well when, for instance, during Katrina,
mm-hmm.
both circuits were in the basement and submerged,
yeah.
and you know, so that becomes a problem when you've put all your eggs in one basket. So
mm-hmm.
we've been trying to sell the concept and have been moderately successful, but we are continuing to push this because I believe in it. And that is the aspect of, if you should have a problem with your terrestrial network, of course, build yourself a terrific terrestrial network.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying don't do that.
Right.
But have an alternative path with a satellite dish up on the roof that'll that is out of harm's way frequently, for when, either a disaster strikes or even something such as a backhoe in the lot next door that cuts your fiber.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Yep. It happens a lot more than I think people think it happens. You talk about talking to executives at agencies and the education process. That seems to me to be something that has changed significantly in the federal market over the past, say, 5 to 10 years, where it seems to me that a lot more deals are getting done on that kind of basis rather than a sales pitch type basis. Agencies seem to be telling me, we don't really want to have somebody come in and talk about why blank company is so great. Tell us inform us what we need to know, and we're more likely to want to do business with a company that is an expert in a given field. Are you seeing that a lot more also?
Absolutely. And it used to be when things were a lot more straightforward, and I'm really dating myself here, going back in the days when I worked for the Bell system. Well, that was it. And
yeah.
So they kind of knew why you were there, and you knew what they wanted. And so you basically talked the nuts and bolts.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more about solutions. Now it's, for instance, recognizing that, having some path diversity, for instance, is a good solution for an agency for continuity of government, mm-hmm. continuity of operations. Okay. The ability to continue to serve citizens and not be able to say, guess what? I'm down hard. I can't serve you.
Right.
Okay. So this is more about a solution. It's a different angle than what the agencies had been used to. They viewed primarily satellite as old and slow and expensive. Well, now it's a lot cheaper, it's a lot faster, and it's very, very new.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had the discussions where I think over these past few years and months, we've educated them more and got them to thinking of doing things perhaps a slightly different way and using this new technology, actually not so new, but the new ability of satellite to better meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's becoming something that that we're finally getting some traction on.
Yeah. Are you also noticing kind of a truncation of the timeline of the agencies wanting or needing different solutions or wanting or needing different challenges? Are the spaces between when those things change getting shorter as well, do you think?
Well, I would like to say yes, but in the network world right now, the transition to networks, the GSA networks contract has taken far longer than it needed to take.
Mm-hmm.
And any agency will agree with that, and they'll say yes. I mean, my goodness, they're almost into the end of the base year period of the contract and not fully transitioned.
Yeah.
In some cases, not anywhere near fully transitioned. So I think that it's become an unfortunate situation that perhaps limits the agencies to look at something new because they're still in the middle of converting to something that was established 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And GSA's done a great job with that contract, establishing it and so forth, and it's just been a slow road. And so, you know, this new service that we're offering and bringing to the government, this managed national broadband, is such a concept that we understand we're introducing it kind of in the middle still,
yeah,
of the network's transition, but it sure does make a lot of sense. And, you know, hopefully we'll talk about that a little more.
Let's do that. And let's also talk about, when we come back, I want to talk about the concept of big contracts like networks and whether you think that maybe because of the nature of technology now, maybe there's room for them to be changed the way that they're structured and so on. My guest is Tony Bardo. He's Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Corporation on Industry Chatter today, and we'll continue our conversation in a moment.
Tune in to Fed Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris. Don't miss Fed Central on the 2nd of March, 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Sponsored by Deloitte.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
This is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, March 1st at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. This month will be a Department of Homeland Security CIO roundtable live from the 2011 AFSEA Homeland Security Conference. My guests will be from Coast Guard, NPPD, TSA, and CIS. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum Tuesday, March 1st at 12 noon right here on 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by the AFSEA Homeland Security Conference and Solutions Series.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information. 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the National Toll-Free Helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest today is Tony Bardo. He's the Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Corporation. And we're talking about contract vehicles and so on. Are we at a point, do you think, Tony, technology-wise, and by technology-wise, I mean the speed at which technology is evolving and the potential solutions to the challenges the agencies face are changing so rapidly that big, long-term contract vehicles are maybe not the best way to try to help agencies solve their problems buying that way?
It's certainly a valid point. And these contracting vehicles, and you know, I'll stick to the telecom world that I'm familiar with, for instance, the networks contract and its predecessors before that, FTS 2001, FTS 2000, and so forth. They offered, you know, long-term stability, the ability to innovate and modify the contract and bring, you know, introduce new technology to the agencies. They have certainly served their purposes. They've offered competition. They've offered variety of choices for the agencies. On the other hand, GSA and DISA in the satellite world have moved to an interesting new framework. It's not terribly new, really, come to think of it, but the idea of putting a lot of services on the GSA schedule, and this is a contract called the Future Commercial Satcom Acquisition, FCSA, and there's a portion of it that it is going to be on an IDIQ that's going to be decided later this year, and I think a lot of companies are competing for it, and there will be multiple awards there, and it will offer unique custom solutions for agencies that will get built by the contractors and so forth. But on the other hand, for the straightforward services, satellite services that the agencies need, they've put these on the GSA schedule. And I contrast that versus a large omnibus-like contract in that it's evergreen. People can come in to the schedule with a new idea and a new technology, a new satellite service and so forth, and add it to the schedule and introduce it to the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So that schedule idea might be something worth thinking about expanding and to other services and other kinds of contracts and so forth that enable new entrants to come in and offer unique ideas, and that keeps the people that are already on the schedule fresh and on their toes and so forth, and the agencies win.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that model, while probably not workable for everything, seems to have some teeth to it, I think, for this marketplace.
It seems to me that because of what's happening especially in the telecom world, where there's kind of this, there are two arcs that are crossing. There's the evolution of a lot of things that used to be more service-oriented that are becoming commoditized. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that are brand new that you're able to add on as services. And there just seems to be so much flow, so much fluidity in this whole space that's what gets me to think that something that this is – this contract vehicle, and it's going to be for the next 5 years and so on and so forth, might be maybe a little unwieldy for something, a field like you're in.
Right. And the example, an example of what I'm talking about is something that, frankly, is not so new technology, but rather something we've been doing at Hughes for a long time in the commercial marketplace, that because of the GSA schedule and our ability to put some of these services on GSA schedule, now is something we can introduce as a new access technology for the agencies, and that's our managed national broadband service.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing this now for lots of years in the commercial space, bringing the power of broadband to our commercial customers to access the network. And that's very different from how the agency networks are being constructed today and have been constructed for the last 30 years,
mm-hmm.
with more dedicated fixed access to the network that might not be the best way to go now that broadband is capable of doing so much more.
So, let's talk about that some more, because the ubiquity of broadband drives a number of things that agencies want to do. Telework's the biggest one of those, I think. So we'll get on that when we come back from the break. Tony Bardo is Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are mixed. The Dow's down 57 points. The Nasdaq higher by 5. Oil prices are above $99 a barrel. Crude surged as the revolt in Libya cut off exports, but then eased as Saudi Arabia assured refiners the kingdom would step in to fill any supply shortfalls. Sales of new homes dropped more than 12.5% in January from the previous month. They fell to a rate of 284,000 from 325,000 in December. That's less than half of what economists view as healthy. Toyota is recalling more than 2 million vehicles sold in the U.S. because flaws with the floor mats could cause the gas pedal to jam. This latest action adds more than 1.25 million vehicles to the November 2009 recall. And Procter & Gamble announcing it's raising prices on some of its products to compensate for higher commodity costs. Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio.
If you're thinking of investing your hard-earned money in the stock market, I have one word of advice for you. Stop! An eye-opening free report by the author of the best-selling book, Bank on Yourself, reveals the truth about how Wall Street has brainwashed Americans into believing you must risk your money in order to grow it. Wall Street lost over 45% of your money twice in the last decade, and they're about to do it again. Hundreds of thousands of Americans use Bank on Yourself. Not one of them lost a single penny in their plans when the market crashed. In fact, their plans will all continue to grow safely and predictably every single year, even when the market crashes again. Learn the secrets to growing your wealth without risking it in the Wall Street casino. All the details are revealed in a free report. For a limited time, you can get this report free at bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. BankRevealed.com. Bank.
Revealed in December. Are you a woman between the ages of 35 and 60 with noticeable fine lines and wrinkles? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We are currently seeking women to try an instant skin-firming serum called Instant Effect. As part of this opportunity, we will send you a free trial of the product, and you may have the chance to appear in a national advertising campaign. To take advantage of this unique opportunity, please call 1-800-500-0365 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a breakthrough beauty discovery that tightens skin on contact and takes years off your appearance. Simply smooth the lightweight serum on your wrinkles and fine lines and watch as they disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. If you're interested in seeing how young you can look in as little as 90 seconds risk-free, you must call in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is now available at Ulta stores, but for this exclusive free radio offer, you must call 1-800-500-0365. Hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-500-0365.
CSC's Maryland Intelligence Unit and Eagle Alliance are growing and have immediate opportunities for cleared IT professionals. Attend our two-day career event for on-site interviews on either Friday, February 25th from 3 to 7 or Saturday, February 26th from 8 to noon at the Maryland Intelligence Center, 7231 Parkway Drive, Hanover. For more, visit us at csc.com/careersus and click on the Career Events tab. That's csc.com/careersus. CSC is a Fortune Magazine Top 5 Admired Company and an equal opportunity employer.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Do you know someone who has done something outstanding in the field of human capital management? Nominate them for Federal News Radio's second annual Causey Awards. Together, we'll call attention to what may be a best practice in government. Anyone can be nominated, career, political, and contractors working in the HR field. The award is named after Mike Causey and his lifelong dedication to the reporting of management and federal pay and benefits issues. To nominate someone for the Causey Awards, go to federalnewsradio.com, search award.
What's the buzz in the federal community? Chris Dorabeck knows it. Join Chris for his new show, The Dorabeck Insider, weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio AM. Chris has the insights on who's coming and who's going, new memos, new contracts, fun and helpful ways for federal managers to improve agency productivity while meeting mission goals. The Dorabeck Insider, building federal community by connecting people. Weekday afternoons on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest on Industry Chatter today, Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes, and we're talking about a lot of things that are really important to agencies. Telework, the emphasis that the agencies, that the administration has put on telework is tremendous, but also money. A lot of people, a lot of agencies, not just the CFOs, concerned about money and how to save money. Talk about the kind of thing that we were talking about during the break, which is supporting telework at agencies and some of the challenges that our agencies are finding based on the way the structures are set up that they're able to give to the employees on an individual basis.
Well, telework is an area of interest to us because the features and capabilities that we bring to network services are a pretty good fit for this problem that's about to get a whole lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The problem being that the tele part of telework hasn't really been worked out terribly well.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, teleworkers are dispatched home, probably with a laptop and so forth and certain other pieces of equipment. And in fact, the legislation calls for the agencies to make sure that they procure and establish computer systems that support telework, and they've been doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
But each teleworker is left to get his or her own ISP service.
Yeah.
All right. So teleworker number one will go back home and get DSL service, and teleworker number two will get cable, and teleworker number three will get wireless, and teleworker number four lives a little bit out of the area and is unserved and gets satellite service.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on their own. None of it's managed. You don't know terribly how secure it is, and it's not properly being served as well as that worker is served from a communication standpoint when they're in their office,
mm-hmm.
when they're in their government office. All of a sudden now their telecom service is on a lot different scale. It's not enterprise grade. It's consumer grade. They probably paid a higher consumer price for it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, what about when the service has a problem?
Mm-hmm.
That teleworker now at home becomes his or her own network manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're the ones working with the telephone company or their cable provider or whatever to fix the problem. Now, the problem I had a few months ago with my service at home, after spending 2 hours on the phone with my service provider, they finally said, "Mr. Bardo, we understand your problem now. Your router's fried." I said, "Okay, fine. What are we going to do about it?" And this had already taken a lot of time,
uh-huh.
crawling under the desk and
right,
you know, looking at it. And so I said, "Okay, what are you going to do about it?" "We're going to send you another router, and you'll get it in 4 days."
Yeah.
Now, if I was a teleworker, that's not terribly productive. And among the things that supervisors have worried about telework is that if I can't see you, I don't know how much you're working, I don't know how effective or productive you're being, and so forth. Well, add to that concern the concern of the person crawling under their desk and you know, troubleshooting their own network problems when they should be doing their government work,
mm-hmm.
when they should be doing their job.
Yeah.
Now, with the legislation, you multiply that problem a lot of times when telework expands and so forth. So what we've been talking about is using the power of broadband and this Hughes service that we've been offering to our commercial customers for a lot of years, and that is using broadband in all its forms. We provide not only satellite service, but DSL and cable and EVDO services through a variety of arrangements with a lot of providers. These services are tunneled to the Hughes Network Operations Center in Germantown, and then we hand off one big backhaul circuit to the customer's data center,
mm-hmm.
To connect to the network. And we do all the management. In mm-hmm. fact, when our customer's circuit is down, we're probably calling the help desk and saying, "Teleworker A, his DSL line is down. We're working on the problem already."
Mm-hmm. So when I'm working remotely for agency X, I may be getting, if I've got your pipe, I may be getting through that pipe DSL from one provider, or it might be a cable service from another provider or whatever. That's transparent to the end user, and it doesn't matter to the agency. They don't care as long as they're getting a spec to that particular user that's what they're paying for.
Exactly.
Do I have it right?
We're securing it, so we're putting encryption on each service, each circuit. We have devices at the customer's location, enable us to see and monitor the health of the network. We give the agency one place to call
mm-hmm.
for their troubles. And also, we give the agency one bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we've now rendered the tele part of telework to be of the ilk and spec and capability that those workers got when they were back in their office.
How scalable is it? If I say, all right, I have this new group of 500 people that have been assigned, that have been approved, that they can now telework. Mm-hmm. How long till I can get them mobile?
What we would do with an agency, as we've done with our commercial customers, is they give us the list of locations. We can then check to see if DSL is available, if cable is available.
See what the resource is.
And a lot of times we'll give that customer, at these sites, you have two or three choices. You tell us what the priority is. Is it cost? Is it speed? Give us the choice. One of our commercial customers, as I said, we've been doing this for a lot of years on the enterprise side. One of our commercial customers is a petroleum company, and they have 10,000 locations across the country, 10,000 gas stations. And these, in essence, are the equivalent of their teleworkers, mm-hmm. or their small government office, whatever.
Yeah.
And they basically said, Hughes, put in DSL everywhere you can. And where you can't put DSL, put VSAT. And, oh, by the way, give us one bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that. We've been doing a lot of years for this customer. In fact, we have 240,000 locations where we provide this service for our commercial customers today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're highly ranked in terms of managed service providers by virtue of, by the measurement of end user locations. Mm-hmm. So it is it's something we've been doing for a long time. We've not introduced it to the government market because of the networks contract,
mm-hmm.
and believing that access would be solved as it always has through that kind of contract. But now we've been looking at this and saying, you know, what's a teleworker but a small government office?
Mm-hmm.
So this managed network thing carries over into the ability to do just what we're doing for commercial customers.
Mm-hmm.
That oil company has a big pipe network connecting all their refineries, their labs, their data centers, and so forth. And on the other hand, their field offices are connected rather by a broadband network that connects them all the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what we're advocating, going back to the conversation about the contract vehicles. This is what we have on GSA schedule and can introduce these kinds of services. It's a new model.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new model for access to the network, but it's going to save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to your question about CFOs,
yeah.
and so forth.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the objections that you're hearing as you're talking about this new model, because as with anything new, there are things that people either don't know or aren't sure about. Tony Bardo is the Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Corporation, my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris, weekday mornings 6 to 10.
The GAO's Jeanette Franzel at the AGA conference last week.
The condition of federal finances is really dire right now. We've got a very acute short-term problem where we're trying to deal with the recent economic recession, and at the same time we have a long-term issue with structural programs that we just can't sustain, and we don't want to damage the short-term economic recovery.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Tony Bardo. He's Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Corporation, and talking a lot about broadband technology. And one of the things that you and I were talking about during the last commercial break that I thought was interesting, you were talking about having the discussion with CIOs about the capabilities that they have if they're going out and they're either trying to get a pipe to a small office somewhere that might not be in a really urban, easily accessible location. I think you called it a beyond a zero mile location. And we were talking about the idea that CIOs have said, and I've heard this too, well, a T1 line just isn't good enough. Did you ever think 5 years ago that you would hear somebody say a T1 line doesn't cut it? That's where we've come. That's really something.
It is amazing, but the applications are just so bandwidth hungry now.
Mm-hmm.
And these applications will do more for constituent service, will do more for whatever that agency's mission is. And so it's imperative that access to those applications, whether they're in the cloud or whether they're just trying to be downloaded to the field office for them to use there,
mm-hmm.
is so ever important. And that's why we're trying to juxtapose the one size fits all sort of concept to putting the T1 line everywhere,
mm-hmm.
Versus using the flexibility and power of broadband, which you can tailor these solutions. You can figure out that maybe here in this one office, a 512 down and or up and 3 meg down DSL circuit is a much better fit and gives that field office so much more throughput,
mm-hmm.
And at a far reduced cost than the special access, this becomes an enormous cost savings opportunity for these agencies. You start to think about the thousands of access lines, T1 access lines that are around the country, not within close range of getting to the network, and now you've got distance sensitive mileage charges and so forth. It's really a new opportunity. As I have said over and over, it's a new model for mm-hmm. network access that we think makes some sense. And as I said earlier, we're offering it through our GSA schedule. We're also partnered with the network's providers and can offer it through them. So mm-hmm. the agencies, a lot of times they'll when we talk to them about this or other things that we offer, they'll say, well, how can I get this? And we say, we understand you may want to obtain these services through your networks, your chosen network service provider, and that's absolutely fine with us.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to go direct, they're on the GSA schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're starting to get some traction. And we've also vetted this with certain former CIOs and agency officials, and they've said that we're really onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the cost savings. But particularly this whole aspect of getting applications downloaded to the field
mm-hmm.
is something they in their former jobs were very frustrated about. So your question about T1 5 years ago was an enormous amount of bandwidth.
Yeah.
We thought we'd satisfy all our needs with that. Well, that's no longer the case.
Do you think we're ahead of the curve now when it comes to the bandwidth versus applications or demand, I guess, equation? Because it seemed for a long time there was always more stuff that we wanted to use than there was pipe to push it through. Are we starting to get that turned around where the capacity is ahead of the demand a little bit?
Well, the capacity can frequently be there for a lot of locations, and it can be provided via the traditional method. I don't mean to portray that the only kind of access is T1 for the data centers, for the large labs, for the large regional offices, and of course many of the agency headquarters here in Washington. Large access pipes to get to the network are routinely provided by the carriers. They do a great job of this. And so what we're trying to sort of impose as the new model is, you think about these companies that we've been doing this business with for a lot of years, these enterprise companies, they get their big offices and their big facilities and campuses and so forth connected with big pipe networks from the traditional carriers.
Mm-hmm.
We have this ability to sort of cross carrier boundaries to anywhere in the country and get a DSL line because we have this managed service.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes very effective for that service to be obtained through a broadband provider such as Hughes. And really, in the federal space, we're the only ones that are offering this. So this is sort of brand new, but not.
Yeah.
It's brand new in that we're bringing over this experience. Any conference I go to, whether it's an IAC conference or an FCA or a firm or what have you, they're always stressing we want to leverage best commercial practices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's one that we think can save a lot of money and get some flexible access out to those field offices.
What are the objections that you hear when you go in and talk to agencies? When they say, well, I'm not sure, I don't think it'll work because, what's usually the because?
We typically don't get any objection on the principle of it. It's sort of a, in fact, one agency we were talking about, they had 500 offices, small offices around the country where the individual managers of those offices took it upon themselves to order broadband and pay for it out of their own budget,
right,
just to get to the network. And now this agency is trying to consolidate that and get it under a managed service. When we explained this concept to that agency, the telecom official looked at me and said, geez, wouldn't this work for my T1 offices around the country?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you exactly get it.
Yeah.
And so there's hardly any arguing with the principle. It's sort of the execution, timing. When can I do it? I'm in the middle of my network's transition now. And to that we say, we could probably speed up your network's transition because you can concentrate on the big pipe part of the network. We could concentrate on the small field office network and get that broadband up running in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably could shorten your transition time.
You're done with that part, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're not trying to really challenge the network's contract. In fact, not at all. Like I said, we would offer this through the network's contract as well, but we're just saying, here's something different. And these ideas, sometimes they come in the middle of contract cycles,
mm-hmm.
but it's still worth it to pay attention to them and consider them. So we're not getting too much objection on the value of it, mm-hmm. the benefit of it.
When we come back, we'll wrap up by talking about some of the things that I want to follow up on a couple of the things that you talked about. One in particular is, as the agencies decide which solutions they want to use, which places, what the data looks like, and whether they have the data they need to make those decisions well. Tony Bardo is my guest. He's Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Corporation, and we'll finish up with Tony in just a moment.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Department of Health and Human Services is awarding more than $240 million in grants to states across the country to help them develop IT systems that will run the new health insurance exchanges. The state-based exchanges, created as part of the Federal Health Care Reform Act, are designed to be one-stop shops for individuals and small businesses to compare and buy health insurance online. The exchanges don't kick in until 2014, but HHS says it wants to give 7 states a head start on developing reusable, transferable IT systems so they can be used as models. And HHS can show other states the best ways to create their own IT infrastructure to support the exchanges. The awards will go to Kansas, Maryland, New York, Oklahoma, Oregon, Wisconsin, and a consortium of New England states.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy, it works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Tune in to Fed Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris. Don't miss Fed Central on the 2nd of March, 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Sponsored by Deloitte.
HCMF Federal Recruitment and Talent Management Strategy Day is a one-day training conference to be held Wednesday, May 4th, 2011 in Washington, D.C. The conference will focus on new opportunities for bringing in top talent to the federal government, such as marketing and brand strategies, investing in employee development, and more. Keynotes will be presented by OPM Director John Barry, as well as presentations from seven other Chief Human Capital Officers. For more information, please visit HCMFRecruitmentDay.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Just a few minutes left with Tony Bardo, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes Corporation. And we were talking about the decision-making process that agencies go through when they do decide we're going to go with what you're talking about. We've got X number of locations, and we're trying to figure out which solution is right for which location. Do the agencies have the data that they need to make those decisions, and are they effective and efficient about being able to collect it and then analyze it and understand it to apply it?
It's a huge task to know what it is that's in your network. The fortunate thing is that in the predecessor contract, FTS 2001, part of the requirement for the carriers, and when I was at MCI, I worked that contract for MCI, so I'm aware of this, and that is to keep detailed records for the agency's use of every location, what access type, what service type, and so forth, because you've got voice service and data service and video service and so forth. Keeping good records was a requirement of that contract. It's also a requirement of the current contract. So The agencies should know. It is an enormous amount of data. Some of these agencies have a lot of locations, different services at each one, leases are up and the locations move and so forth. It's a challenge, but they should have that data, and they should be able to understand where broadband might be a better fit versus access lines where, you know, perhaps they're closer, they're more urban, they're, you know, the quote unquote 0 mile or very few miles to the network access point. Mm-hmm. And the broadband service might not prove in necessarily on a cost basis for such a location, but they've got the data.
I am shocked, I tell you, that we've gotten almost to the end and we've only talked on a very cursory basis about the cloud and the implications that broadband has for the cloud. With the cloud-first philosophy that Vivek Kundra's talked about, this is going to create more demand, I would imagine, for a fatter pipe.
Fatter pipes, more flexible pipes, pipes that are tailored to the size of the individual office. It makes an enormous sense to get efficiently and effectively, and perhaps sometimes with redundancy, if you can pull it off, to the cloud. Mm-hmm. Redundant, diverse path, getting back to the point we made at the beginning of the hour, very, very important here. And we think we can deliver a very, very significant new new access method for the agencies.
I'm doing you a disservice by only bringing up the cloud at the very end and not having more of a chance to talk about it, but I really appreciate you coming in today. It's been great to talk to you, Tony. I've had a good time.
Thanks, Francis. My pleasure.
Tony Bardos, Assistant Vice President for Government Solutions at Hughes, my guest on Industry Chatter on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You